right, good morning, LifePoint Church. Hope everybody is well. Appreciate you being here. It's funny, Jared knows me extremely well. He was in my youth group when I first came to LifePoint Church, and when he was putting that stand over there, I'm like, psst, psst, hey. He's like, that's not yours. Yours is over there, because he knows I like a certain stand. He knows how OCD I am. So thank you, Jared, if you can hear me, for appreciating and understanding my issues. Well, my name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint Church. And like I said, I'm so excited and thankful that you're here with us today. You chose LifePoint Church to be your place of worship on this scorching weekend. So how many of y'all got to get outside yesterday at any point in time? Yeah. Well, glad to see you here. You survived. So congratulations on that. You've already accomplished a great feat because it was hot. So, but anyways, we're going to go ahead and jump into our message for today. And today we are in week two of our current message series called The Truth Is You Can't. I know, it's super encouraging, right? It's what you came here to church to hear this morning is that you can't. But the truth is that there's a lot of things that we can't do, that we're not intended or created to do. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to discuss a simple truth that most of us know and completely understand mentally. But man, we really, really struggle to live it out in our day-to-day lives. And it's the truth that no matter how hard you try, despite your greatest efforts, you cannot make everyone happy. You can't. Like, I'm sorry, and if that's heartbreaking to you right now, I get it. I'm not really sorry. I'm sorry, not sorry, right? But you can't. You cannot make everyone happy. So with that being said, we're going to kick things off this morning with our key thought that we'll kind of come back to over and over, and it's this. Becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. Really think about that one. Let that sink in. Becoming obsessed with what everyone else thinks about you, their opinions of you, is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. How he created you, the fact that you are his masterpiece. It's the quickest way to forget that. And honestly, for me personally, I have absolutely struggled with this my whole life. You've probably heard me say that a lot. Well, that's just because I struggle with a lot of things, and I'm very transparent with that. But I mean, I struggle with this because I like to be liked. I think a lot of people are in that boat. I like for other people to like me. Newsflash, I like for people to agree with me. I like for people to think that I did a good job or to be pleased with the work that I do. And it doesn't matter whether that's here at LifePoint or at my other job at Uspiritus, with my friends or with my family or even complete strangers. That's really true for me. A majority of the time, I feel this pressure to perform and to make people happy, to make everyone happy. And as a result, I find myself being faced with this destructive temptation to essentially surrender my life to the opinions of everyone else. And that's not healthy. That's not as God intended. And I'm sure that you're all just like me in the fact that you understand that you can't please everyone. Like if someone says, hey, can you actually make everyone happy and please everyone? You're going to be like, no. Like, I mean, we know this. But again, it's so hard to live out. And it's because just like last week, there's these truths that God has given us and in order to set us free, right? And this is one of those. This is true, and this should be something that sets us free, because the fact is that we can't please everyone. But again, this is where our spiritual enemy creeps in and begins to manipulate and distort this truth and use it in such a way that it becomes destructive in our lives. And it begins to destroy our lives and our relationships with other people and our relationship with God. And ultimately, it leads us to a place, again, where we're ineffective and off mission. Because as opposed to living for God, we're focused on living for the opinions of everyone else. because we're trying to please everyone. We're trying to make everyone happy. It's a manipulated truth. And it typically sounds something like, I know I can't make everyone happy. That's right, that's the truth. I can't make everyone happy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out there and work as hard as I can to make everyone happy. I'm going to work really, really hard at it. Or it's, hey, I know that I can't make everyone happy, so instead I'm going to take this certain group of people and I'm just going to work my butt off to make them happy. And man, if I can't make them happy, then I'm a failure. And that's how we typically buy this lie from the enemy, the manipulated truth. Because the truth is, you can't make everyone happy. We weren't designed to. We weren't created to. And from personal experience, trying to make everyone happy is exhausting. And it typically blows up in your face pretty quick. Because as soon as you make this group of people or this person happy, then you got other people over here that are not happy. And then that's just a vicious cycle that goes on and on and on. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to seek to embrace this truth in its purest form, which is in the way in which God intended it, which is to set us free. So that we're not living for the approval of people, but we're living for God. That our lives are sold out to worshiping and serving our good God. And again, like we talked about last week, that we're going to be living from his approval. So we're going to seek him, to seek to live for him. And so as we get this thing started this morning, we're going to first check out the work and the ministry and some of the words of my man Paul when he went to Galatia. So he went there kind of to straighten out a few things. He essentially realized that these people, they really didn't know what it took to be made right with God. So there was some confusion. Some people thought, kind of as we talked about last week and another instance, is that people thought, well, you have to be circumcised in order to be right with God. But then other people were like, you have to obey the whole law in order to be right with God. Some people said, no, you've actually got to do both. And then some people were like, no, you don't have to do any. And so there's all these differing opinions. And so what Paul came to do is he came to kind of straighten all this out and to inform them of the truth. And that's the truth that in order to be made right with God, that comes by way of faith in Jesus. And that's it. Faith in Christ. And Christ alone is the only way to be made right with God. So he began to boldly proclaim this message, this somewhat controversial message at the time. And so as he did, he found that there was these groups of people that were getting upset about that, right? They weren't happy about that. So you have all these different groups that think these different ways, and they're getting upset. So what Paul did was then he began to kind of soften his message to this group, say a little tweak it here to this group, and then he said something totally different to this group. Just make sure everyone's awake. It's not what he did. That's what we do far too often. We start to compromise things, and we soften the blow, and we do these little different things. That's not what he did. He said, no, this is truth. And here it is. And he presented it boldly, regardless of what people thought about him, because he was on mission. He was focused in on the prize. He had these blinders on, and it was all about God, and it was all about moving the gospel forward because of what Jesus had done in his life. See, but we fall into this trap, this trying to please everyone, to make everyone happy. And we totally lose our focus. And so as a result, Paul made this bold statement in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. And it's a statement that I pray that each and every one of us will embrace and hear this morning. And he said this. He said, obviously, I think that's funny. He's like, obviously, I am not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, check this out, I would not be Christ's servant. Clear as day right there. If pleasing people was my sole purpose, If that was my life's goal, then I would not be a servant of God. You can't serve two masters. There's no way that you can live to serve or to make everyone happy and focus on what they want and how they want you to perform, what they want you to do, and still be 100% committed to God. You can't do both. You can't. Because becoming obsessed with what people think about you, again, is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. So let me just ask, and I want you to be honest as always. Be honest with yourself. How many of you would honestly say that you tend to be a people pleaser? Right. A lot of us. Halfway. I'll help you out here in a second. You just wait. I'm not going to look at you. I'm just going to point in that direction. You just wait. Right. No, a lot of us are people pleasers. We find that because we care about people. But a lot of times it's more of that selfish thing, is that we want to be liked. We want people to think that we're cool or whatever it might be, or that we fit in, or we're you know, keeping up with the Joneses or whatever, whoever the Joneses are, you know, but we're trying to keep up with them. And, you know, and that's why. But many of us are people pleasers. And if you're kind of stuck in the middle, down there, don't know, half and half, let me share four general characteristics of people pleasers. And then we'll go from there and see if this helps you out. But the first characteristic of a people pleaser is that people pleasers tend to take most criticism personally. They take most criticism personally, right? Like, someone could come to you and give you some constructive criticism, some feedback, and then, man, all of a sudden, you just get offended. Like, you're devastated because they said something negative about you, right? I mean, and I get it. I am that to a T. Like, I could have the greatest day at work and have, like, just everything just boom, 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 just falling in line, and I'm winning, and I'm getting this email, hey, great job with this, great job with that, and then one person could come up to me and say, hey, you know, we have a little issue here that we need to tweak and get together, and I really think if you could have done this, that would have been better. And then I'm just like, oh, I'm such a failure. They hate me. Hopefully I don't lose my job. I'm just miserable. Then I drive home from work and I call Jen as soon as I get in my car, and then I like rant and rave and complain about it like all the way home, which is like a 25-minute drive, and she's just saying, uh-huh, okay, yeah, uh-huh, okay, and she's probably doing something else. I'm just trying to, you know. But because people who are people pleasers, man, we tend to take criticism personally. It's a shot at us because we're trying to please other people. How many of you tend to take criticism way too personally? Anybody? Yeah, some of us out there. Another characteristic of people pleasers is that people pleasers feel an intense fear of rejection, right? We have this intense fear of rejection. We don't want to be rejected. We want to be accepted by everybody and loved by everybody. And we think of being rejected in any way, shape, or form, it's terrifying, right? How many of you all are out there and fear a little bit of that rejection? I like this side better. The third characteristic is that people pleasers find it hard to express their true feelings. They find it hard sometimes to express their true feelings, and it's because they don't want to hurt someone else's feelings or to make someone else mad, because not because they're really worried about them, but they're worried about how they're going to feel about you after you do that. Man, if I tell them what I really think, they may not like me anymore. Or hey, if I tell them my opinion on this or my thoughts on this, then they may not like me anymore. So sometimes it's hard for us to express our true feelings. Anybody out there? All right, fourth characteristic of people pleasers that we typically see is that they struggle with saying no. How many of y'all struggle with saying no? I figure there's probably there's more hands out there on this one. You struggle with saying no. You tend to overcommit. You know, you can, someone comes to you and say, hey, can you help me this Saturday pack this, you know, thing up, or help me put up this fence or whatever it is, and outwardly, you're like, yeah, man, I got you. Absolutely, man. You're my brother. I got you. We can do this. And then you walk away and you're like, ugh, man, I don't want to go help anybody on Saturday. I just want to chill. I just want to relax. The game's on. I want to watch some of that, you know, whatever. But so we can be outwardly agreeable, But inwardly, man, we're a little bit resentful. But it's a result of us being fearful of saying no, which leads to us overcommitting and overexhausting ourselves far too many times. But it's that people-pleasing mentality. Man, and it's destructive. It's harmful, it's damaging. Again, because when we obsess about what people think about us, it leads to all these other things that then causes us to forget what God thinks about us. It causes us to forget and what our true mission on this earth is. And it's not to make everyone else happy. It's not to please other people, man. It's to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to live for God, to worship Him. That's why we are here. But many of us are people pleasers. So how do we work through this? Because if we know that we can't make everyone happy, but we also know that we struggle with wanting to make everyone happy, in reality, we struggle with that. How are we to truly be set free by this truth as opposed to allowing it to hold us hostage? What are we to do? And so what we're going to do is I want to look at two facts from Scripture, and we're going to look at some other things as well on how we can truly be set free, how we can take this truth and use it as a positive in our life. Because again, that's how God intended it. He knew that we weren't going to be able to please everyone and to make everyone happy. I mean, we can't. It's impossible. When we live for God solely, 100%, you're not going to make everyone happy. Doesn't mean you have to be hateful. Doesn't mean you should be unloving. It's actually the exact opposite. You should be love all the time. But sometimes, some people aren't going to like you. I know it's hard to believe for some of you, but it's the truth. You can't make everyone happy. And so we're going to look at a couple of facts. And the first one is that, and I think this is really foundational, and it really will hopefully help you to take a mental shift in thinking about being a people pleaser. And it's this, that people pleasing is a form of idolatry. Many people wouldn't say it that way. A lot of times we don't think of it that way, but that's exactly what it is. People-pleasing is a form of idolatry. God says, you shall have no other God before me. But you see, when we surrender our lives to the opinion of people, all we're doing is we're elevating people's opinions and their thoughts of us or their happiness above God. We're putting other people in God's rightful place in our life because we've surrendered everything just to make them happy, and that equals idolatry. It's putting something before God. In fact, we see a great example of this in the New Testament when we read about some of the leaders that actually believed in Jesus, but man, they wouldn't go public with that because of fear of what other people would think. And maybe you find yourself in that same boat. Maybe you are a believer and you believe in Christ, and yet you kind of keep your faith on the low a little bit because you're worried about what other people at work or what other people at your kid's daycare or the ball team or whatever are going to think about you. Or maybe they're going to treat you differently. And so you just kind of keep it quiet. Check this out. John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43 says this. It says, yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. I want you to really think about that last piece. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. So what about you? Do you fall into that boat? Because that's idolatry. If you live for and long for human praise, for other people's praise and acceptance, more than you want to live for God, something's way off. But we find ourselves falling into this trap constantly. It's that people-pleasing mentality. Man, it's tough. I'm not saying it's easy. This is just reality. And this is something that we have to work through and we have to struggle through and we have to seek God for daily. Again, for me, like I've said, this has been a tough journey for me throughout my life in wanting to please people. Because, man, not just myself, but we all, man, we love for people to like us. We do. I think back on the 35 years of life that I've experienced at this point, and I've all throughout have been consumed with what people think about me. It's formed how I've acted at times, how I've dressed, you know, what music I listened to, what teams I liked, where I went, who I hung out with, who I dated in high school. Not now, don't worry, it's all good. I'm talking about high school. But I've let that form so much of my life. Actually, when I think back at the very first time that I remember caring what other people thought about me, I think of two instances that will forever stick out in my mind, that will be with me forever, and they both happened in second grade. So I was probably, I guess, like seven, right? So I think about how there was this girl that I just thought was awesome. As a seven-year-old, you know, it was just fantastic. It was great. And at the time, my dad would cut my hair. And so I'm like, Dad, yo, I got to have, like, the best flat top ever. Like, I mean, this is the 80s. You know, it's late 80s. I got to have this. I have to have a sick flat top, Dad, please, because I want to impress this girl. So he's like, all right. So he's cutting my hair, and he's trying to make sure that it's, you know, it's level. You know, he's about to break out the level on that sucker. And he's, like, hitting it up, and then he runs the clippers right down the center of my head, like all the way down here on accident somehow. And so I had this big line going there. And again, I went to a small Christian school in the 80s, so they're like, oh, you can't have any lines. So that would have probably gotten me kicked out because, you know, people were doing lines in their hair at the time. So he had to buzz my head completely. Oh, I forgot to mention, too, that I had just lost my two front teeth also. Oh, and it was picture day the next day. So I got that little jewel tucked around somewhere. No, you cannot see it. But I was so worried about what she was going to think about me that I'm like, I have to have everything perfect. And I ended up toothless with a buzzed head. And yeah. So, and then I think of the other times we had a Halloween party at my school. Well, we called them harvest parties. We couldn't call them Halloween parties. Yeah. Anyways, but we could dress up that day. So I dressed up like a pirate, and I had an awesome costume. I was so excited about it. And when my dad was taking me to school, we went through the drop-off line, and the drop-off line ran past all the classrooms. So, of course, all the kids were, like, in the windows, like, looking to see what everyone was dressed up as. And I was sitting right there in the passenger seat, and I rolled up. They all see me. My dad parks right there, and they're all, like, pointing and laughing. And so I freaked out because I thought they were making fun of me. So I started crying. I was a mess. And me and my dad got in an argument. And I got in big time trouble because I was more worried about what my friends thought than what my dad thought. And I was being very rude and disrespectful. And I promise you, it didn't go well. It did not go well. But I mean, I know those are kind of silly examples, but those are basically like the very beginning of me falling into this trap of wanting to please people. I mean, second grade. And I'm sure there were some other examples before that I don't remember or that I've suppressed or whatever it might be. Those are the ones that I remember. But that was me falling into this people-pleasing trap that has basically off and on consumed my life. And it's been destructive. It's not been a healthy thing. And I want you to note that I said trap, right? Because this thing is a trap from our enemy. Right, it's truth distorted and manipulated, and it forms this trap. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 tells us that fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Again, very simple, very profound, and can honestly keep us from all kinds of trouble by embracing and receiving just that truth right there. Fear of man will prove to be a snare. It's a trap. The Hebrew word there is mokesh, which translates as trap or snare. Very literally, it means a noose for catching animals or a hook in the nose that can lead them around. That's what we're talking about here. And that's what the fear of man, that's what people pleasing does. When we submit our lives to what other people think, man, we are being led around day in and day out by their opinions. It's a rope around our neck, dragging us wherever they want us to go. Right? A hoop in the nose, dragging someone around. That would not be fun. But that's what it is. Because we've submitted our lives to this and we're caught in that trap. Next thing you know, everything about our lives is like, hey, do you like my shirt? Hey, do you think I'm doing a great job? Hey, look, I just got this promotion at work. What do you think about that? Do you see the new car I'm driving? Hey, do you see what end of town I live in? Everything that we do starts to become consumed with pleasing other people or about what their opinions of us are. And when we do that, man, hook, line, and sinker, man, we're trapped. And the enemy wins when we're off mission. When our life is consumed with people-pleasing, we are not effective with the gospel. We are not going to be going out and being Jesus in our community because we're too worried about what everyone else is going to think about us. And the reality is, newsflash, is if we are actually being Jesus in our community, the majority of the people are going to be good with that because that was about love and grace and serving. But we get so consumed, we're so worried about everyone else, we get trapped. And man, this trap from the enemy, man, that lures us in, man, there's typically, for us, I would say there's three traps that we typically fall into. I'm going to buzz through those real quick. And the first one is that I'll compromise for you trap. Many times because we want to please other people, we're willing to compromise our values and our beliefs. Typically, it's not a huge compromise at times. Sometimes it is, but normally there's just these little bitty compromises that we make. And over time, man, it's extremely, extremely destructive. But we're willing to compromise at times because we're trying to please people. Because we're living for people, not for God. The second compromise that we see a lot of time is, and we've already spoke about this a little bit, is that I'll overcommit for you trap. Man, as a people, we are way, way too busy. We're so busy, man. We don't even have time for our families, for our friends, let alone have time to spend with God. We're pushing God off to the side, saying, "I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to read your word. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to talk about the things that you're about." Because I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to run here, I got to do this, and I got to do that. And many of those things that we're doing, not all of them, but many of them are trying to please other people. Or trying to get some different status so that people will approve of us. It can, many times, you can trace it all the way back to some type of people-pleasing mentality. The third trap that we see is that I'll let you limit my success trap. And what I mean by that is many times when you are walking in the direction that God has guided you, when you are living in his call in your life and you're going in that direction, you're going to start to see some success, right? And a lot of times, the more successful you become, the more people may not like you or the more shade they might throw at you. They might say some things about you or whatever it may be, especially if you take on some type of leadership role within anything. Someone's going to have an opinion about you, about how you're doing it, and that you're not doing it the right way, or if they did it like so-and-so who used to lead that, or whatever it may be. Somebody's going to have an opinion. And far too many times, we allow that fear or that worry about what someone else is going to think about us become a ceiling to our success, to become a ceiling for us to truly be who God created us to be and do the things that he created us to do because we're worried about what other people think. Again, I've been there, I've done that. I've been there and I've done that within this past year. Probably within the past couple months. And that is not what God has called us to do. It's not who he created us to be. He's got a unique calling and plan for your life. And if you're solely focused on what other people think, you're going to miss it. Go miss it. We have to focus in on who he's called us to be and keep our eyes fixed on him and continue to serve and worship and follow him. Because if not, and we put people on the pedestal, it's idolatry. People-pleasing is truly a form of idolatry. Again, so what's the answer, right? What are we to do? How do we work through this? And again, for me, I've shared this over and over again. This is an ongoing daily challenge. I mean, here at LifePoint, like I want to serve you all as your pastor. I want also to be liked. I do. And I want you all to approve of the work that God is doing here and that I am leading in. I want that. But at the same time, I understand that the only way that I can do that effectively and to do what God wants me to do and what God has called me to do is to not live to please people. It's not. It's not to live to please people, but instead to live to please God and to live to focus on him and do what it is he's called me to do. That's all I can do. And that's a tough thing to swallow at times. Knowing that, not just here, but just in life in general, that when you follow God's plan for your life and you do the things he's called you to do and you hold on to those values and you hold on to that mission, that not everyone's going to be your fan. And that's tough, especially for us people pleasers. So here's the answer. Here's the win for you, hopefully, that you'll take back today. And it's the second fact that we see, and it's this. Is that fear of God is the best antidote for the fear of people. Fear of God is the best antidote for the fear of people. And again, if we can fully embrace this truth, man, it can be a game changer in your life. You see, if you are a people pleaser, you find yourself constantly trapped in that cycle of focusing in on what other people think. You've got that rope around your neck that's leading you anywhere and everywhere. If that is you, you've got to understand that people are way too big in your life and God is way too small. That's where you're at. People are too important. Their voice is too loud compared to God and his voice and his leading. The roles are reversed. Their location in your life is off. You've got people in that number one spot. Psalms 34, verse 9 says, "Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need." And again, to fear God. When I was younger growing up in church, that was beat over my head as something that I was terrified of God. Like if you've seen the movie Bruce Almighty, like I thought God was like, you know, this bully on an anthill with a magnifying glass ready to burn my feelers off, right? Anytime I messed up. But that's not what we're talking about. And this is a reverence. This is a respect that he is holy. And he's worthy of our praise. And he is worthy to be in that number one spot in our lives. That is his rightful place and no one else's. And when you put someone else in that spot, it's idolatry, period. So we have to have that respect and that reverence of God, and we have to put him in his rightful place as number one. And when we do that, scripture says that we'll have all that we need because he's with us and he's guiding us and he's leading us and we're following him. We're not worried about people. We're worried about him and what he wants and what he desires, and we're moving forward. You see, when you respect God and you honor him and he's in that rightful place, you no longer need the approval of people. You don't. That begins to dwindle. That desire starts to dissipate in your life. It's not as strong. It's not as bold when God is in that rightful place. When he's in that number one spot. Again, he's worthy. He deserves it. He's good. He deserves our whole life, our full attention. And when we do that, we no longer have to live for the approval of people. It's the greatest antidote for a people pleaser, for that fear. It's putting God in that number one spot, fixing your eyes on him, spending time with him, serving him, worshiping him, honoring him, glorifying him. When you're able to do that, man, you're going to be set free from this people-pleasing mentality. And your life will be dramatically different. See, some of those traps that we get caught in because of people-pleasing, right? Whether it be overcommitting, letting people limit our success, compromising our values, man, those things start to go away. Reality is you don't even have to really even focus on those things because those traps become so obvious, so apparent, they're so exposed that you're like, oh, sidestepping that. I don't got to worry about that because my eyes are fixed on Christ. I got to worry about what other people think. It doesn't mean that you're not helping people. It's like, oh, can't overcommit. Sorry, never going to help anybody else. Good luck. That's not what we're talking about here. Yes, we're to serve people. Yes, we're to do those things. But you know those times that you should say no, right? Because you're exhausted and you're only doing it. You're only saying yes so that they think that you're a good person or that they'll like you. So we have to put him in that right spot. The only way that we can be totally changed is to stop focusing on what everyone else thinks and just focus on who God created you to be and living for him. And again, please don't get this twisted that this is some type of out in the world thing. This happens all day, every day in churches all across the U.S. where people are performing and there's people pleasers in the church trying to make other Christians think that they're good Christians. Again, I grew up in the church. That was some of the most destructive stuff for me, was constantly worrying about what this person and that person thought about me, and if they thought I measured up and if they thought I was a good Christian or if I was doing and saying the right things and dressing the right way and listening to the right music or whatever it may be. I'll stop there because I'll keep going and we'll be here forever and nobody wants that. But that it's in everything. And it doesn't matter whether people pleasing is in the church or outside the church. It's all destructive because it's all about living for God. And if we can do that, everything else falls into place. It really does. When we accept love and grace and keep our eyes fixed on him, everything is going to fall into place because our God is that good. And when we're moving forward, man, it's incredible. So the truth is you can't make everyone happy. You can't. And so in its purest form, we're going to receive that from God, that truth, and we're going to let us set us free. And we're going to reject the manipulated truth that the enemy throws at us to trap us. We're not going to be people pleasers. We're going to focus on living for God, and we're going to be set free. So today, begin to seek him. Maybe if you don't know him as your Savior, man, accept him as your Savior. Receive that gift of his that brings about new life, transformational life. Be the greatest decision you've ever made. But if you know him and continue to seek him, I don't care how long you've been in church, how long you've been a Christ follower, seek him, know him, worship him, serve him, live for him. And when you do that, that's the moment that you become set free and you're able to move forward. Not worried about what anyone and everyone else thinks. You can avoid those traps. So be set free today. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are. For what you've done for us, God, for the fact that you made a way for us. The fact that you have not called us to please people, to make everyone happy, but God, just to focus on you and to live for you. God, may we as individuals and as a church God, truly embrace that truth and live for you and worship you and celebrate you and honor you and glorify you and put you in that number one spot, again, in our own lives, and put you in that number one spot at Life Point Church. As we continue in prayer this morning, maybe you're here today, and like I said a second ago, I mean, you've not come to know Christ as your Savior. You've never stepped over that line of faith. Maybe you've been coming to Life Point Church for a little bit, or maybe you've been going to church for a long time, or maybe this is your first time in a church building. But whatever the situation is, man, you've been checking out the claims of Christ. You've been trying to figure this thing out. I mean, if that's you, just today, just lay down your life to Him. Give Him your whole life. Because He's worthy. He is our God, and He is good, and He loves you, and He wants nothing more than to be in a connected relationship with you. He's the one that can fill that void in your life. He's the only thing that can fill that void in your life. So if that's you this morning, man, just call out to God however He leads. You can do that from your seat or here in a minute when Jarrett plays. I mean, you can come forward and someone, one of our leaders can talk to you. If you have questions, we'll be glad to answer those questions for you the best that we can. But if that's you, man, just give your life to Christ today. Scripture says that in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that you will be saved. See, God made a way for us through His Son. And you can receive that today. Just confessing and believing, giving Him your life. But maybe today you've just become, you're a Christ follower, but you've become so obsessed with what other people think. And you're spiraling out of control. And if that's you today, man, just stop all that nonsense. Break free from that trap. The only way to break free from that trap is to embrace our good God and to seek Him and to follow Him and to live for Him. So if that's you today, man, just turn that switch. Get back on track with where you're supposed to be. You know this. Sometimes it's just hard to press play on it. So I'm challenging and encouraging you today to press play. Focus on God, what He wants and what He's called you to do, the direction that He's leading you, and just run in that direction. Be set free. Before we go into a moment of prayer, we're going to go ahead and transition into our time.